The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
And you are listening to the High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew, along with my tag team partner, the scoundrel, Jeff Martin. I am the trendsetter, Brian Perga. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. So glad to be back. Given that you that consistency that we've been lacking every once in a while, but guys, you can
we're trying,
and you know we're hopefully little by little succeeding. Guys, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at High Spot Podcast. Also, make sure you leave a 5-star rating. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, iTunes as well. You also catch the High Spot Podcast on Spreaker. We are part of the Shining Wizards Radio Network as well. Also catch us on BodySlam.net.
BodySlam.net.
Yes, and we're looking forward to all the shenanigans that us, the Jersey Wrecking Crew, are getting into. Really busy weekend coming up next week as we will approach something pretty nice in terms of getting a little out there in terms of attending a convention. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on the show. But really exciting right now because now it seems like, you know, we talked about the old days and me and Jeff about the Monday Night Wars. Now it seems like we have something more to talk about now. The Wednesday Night Wars, as they tend to call it right now, Jeff. But first, let me ask you, how you doing, man? And how's your week been?
I'm doing good.
Good. Glad to hear it, Jeff. So let's move on to more important topics here, Jeff. Let's talk about what's been going on with NXT. Jeff's looking at me weird now. I asked you a question, you answered it.
Short and sweet. That's just like me.
Exactly. I don't know about the sweet part, though, but sometimes you're a little sour. But,
but
you can't be sour. You can't be sour, though, of what we got in terms of content-wise from AEW, NXT, and just things that we're looking forward to now towards the week. It's a full schedule of wrestling now, every week.
Oh, it is. And I just want to say, too, we got Marty Elias on the show today. We're going to call this episode Walk with Marty Elias. So it's good to hear from him. It's been a while, so we'll catch up. And really, guys, when you hear this story, it's going to be very inspirational and hope you guys get something from it. But, yeah, I mean, Trendsetter, when we're starting the show, we did not want to talk about the WWE draft because, God, it was one of the most lackluster things I've ever seen. And I'm not going to complain about it because you know what? It is what it is. If you want to watch wrestling, Wednesday night is your night. And I don't know what I'm going to do on Mondays because, you know, we have to do this. We have to watch Raw and we have to watch SmackDown.
You sound like it's a chore.
But if it's starting to become one. And if I don't have to tune in on Mondays and Fridays, I'm definitely going to tune in on Wednesday nights because I can just relax and just worry about the wrestling. I don't have to hear crappy promos, not too many backstage segments, if any, and I can just watch it. And you know what? I watched a tremendous match between Kenny Omega and Joey Janela on AEW Dark this past Tuesday.
Which you guys catch on YouTube.
And even NWA Power is a very enjoyable show. It's 1 hour.
I haven't caught it, though.
You have to.
It feels very old school from looking at it.
It's a good intro.
Yeah.
Good intro and outro. And Camille.
Oh, yeah, there goes without question. But it really feels like from the dynamic, it's like it's a small setting. The audience
studio,
is
wrestling.
There.
Yeah.
It's a studio. Once the ring's there, you go right to the side. Like the old NWA days. Once it's done, you move
Crockett
right into
promotion,
the...
Crockett promotion,
yeah, the Crockett promotions.
I mean... Everyone on social media has ripped the draft, so, I mean, you know, we can't even, you know, nothing really changed.
Can rip it, but at the same time, it's what's already been said. It's kind of what you and I expected to be, you know, and it's fallen short, too. Just for the mere fact, though, is, you know, you'd think after the huge deal with Fox and now them trying to be separate entities on separate networks that would be it. You would decipher the fact that you guys are two separate brands, but that didn't last very long.
Like, think what you think of the man, but she's must-see. In WWE's eyes, and you're going to put her on Raw and not have her on SmackDown, to me, you can't try to go guns a-blazing on network TV with half a roster. You want to see Seth Rollins, you want to see Charlotte, you want to see Becky Lynch. To me, it doesn't make sense to have a roster split on network television. But, you know, we'll get into that as the ratings come in. Of course, there's a million viewer discrepancy from the premiere to now, and some had to pay for it, and Eric Bischoff ended up losing his job. WWE made the announcement earlier in the week that Bischoff was let go, and Bruce Pritchard now takes over. What do you think about that?
Well, first thing I thought of was this rib.
Was this a rib? No.
No, it wasn't a rib, though. No. But I can't tell you, Jeff, honestly, talking to you about this, that I'm surprised. Not that I'm surprised Eric Bischoff got let go, but I'm not surprised that that was the casualty that happened. Because whether it be a head writer that has that job for 2 weeks or 3 months, it always seems to be the same thing. And I talked about this with the Moody Barber not too long ago, too, Jeff, and I'll bring the point up to you, which we've talked about before on the show, too.
Thank you, Moody Barber, because I have a nice little fresh cut for the end of the week. So,
there you go. But it seems like, you know, no matter how many times you change the pieces around you, the formula is still the same. And it's the formula that, in my opinion, and I'm sure a lot of people, the members of the crew share this opinion, it's the formula that's no longer working anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because at the end of the day, it all goes through one person, and we all know who that person is, Vince McMahon. Now, you know, there's been debate back and forth. Oh, has Vince lost touch now? Has he lost sight now of what's going on? Is he rest? Not necessarily he's resting on his laurels, but is he kind of just – he just doesn't see it from this perspective anymore as opposed to maybe Triple H and what he's trying to do with NXT. That's a fair point to make. But honestly, to get to your point, I don't see it as a surprise. Somebody had to pay. It's sad that it was Eric Bischoff because he really, you know, from 2 weeks really starting this out or 3 weeks they're into it now on network TV and that huge discrepancy, for him to get to be the first casualty, I'm like, you have to let it settle from the fact that, yes, it's going to be huge from the first episode and you have to let it build. But unfortunately, it seems like, you know, how people complain about wrestling fans having short attention spans, it seems right now like Vince and higher management, especially what they're dealing with
or,
with Fox,
have no patience
whatsoever. Yeah. And that's what happened right now. Congratulations to Bruce. But you know what? When you really think about it, how much longer, how much leeway does he have now before he becomes the next casualty? Well, so, no, it doesn't surprise me. You know, it will happen again.
Well, I mean, he has more leeway with Vince. Vince knows his work. From what we heard, Eric didn't.
But from this company, Jeff, it's what you've done for me lately type of thing.
I get it. But, I mean, will he be given more than 2 weeks? I think he will be. So,
if he's lucky.
This is a message from Vince to the. To Fox saying that, you know, we won't tolerate the slippage in the ratings. Yet I don't really know how much Eric had to do with it because from what we heard, it was just overseeing stuff.
He was the scapegoat. Let's be honest. He was the scapegoat of this entire thing.
And here's the thing, right? With Eric Bischoff, like, you know, when I was that loyal WWE fan and I was, like, gung-ho saying, let's beat WCW, you know, when I finally interviewed Eric and I heard him on the podcast 83 Weeks, I give the man credit, man. He really knew what he was doing back then and, you know, still has that creative mind. A lot of his philosophies I agree with, like the unpredictability. Mm-hmm. Fans want to see that every week saying like, oh, I know this was real, but that, I know this is fake or scripted, but that kind of
seemed. Don't use the F word on the show.
Yeah, no, sorry. But, you know. That level where you're like, you're wondering if it was real or not, or, you know, that unpredictable.
You're toying that line between fantasy
that
and
shade
reality,
of gray, right?
Exactly.
And I respect that. And he uprooted himself from Wyoming, drove all the way from Wyoming with his dog to Stanford, rented an apartment for his wife, and that's where they stayed. And he was there, you know, for the summer, and then the 2 weeks here with whole SmackDown stuff, and it's just unfortunate, man. It just sucks.
I still think he has a great mind for wrestling, but here's the thing, and that I can't
have a question. He's an outsider.
Yeah, I mean,
no pun intended. But you know, he's an outsider, and like you said, someone had to be the scapegoat.
Well, yeah, somebody had to be the scapegoat. Yeah. But again, I begin to wonder. I mean, I started seeing differently the side of Eric Bischoff way before you interviewed him. We kind of saw the two sides of the story because there's always two sides. Early on in the Monday Night Wars, you're leaning towards one side because you're all WWE or WCW, whichever one you want. And so you can't see the other perspective of the other competitor and what they're doing, what their logic and what their philosophies are. So I always knew that about Eric Bischoff as we later on kind of like understood the full story of it. But basically with this is that people would always constantly ask him before he made the move back to WWE and was going to foresee all the directive in terms of what was going on with SmackDown. But what I started realizing was maybe – you know, Eric kind of felt like he wanted that one more shot, but maybe the body wasn't there. I think the mind was there, but the body was kind of saying, you know what, maybe I should just rest and enjoy the life he was living. Because he was living a wonderful life, and so maybe he didn't want to. So I think he still has a great mind for the industry. I don't think in terms of that type of dedication, do I think Eric should, you know, as Jeff's knocking papers all over the place, should consider anymore. But maybe, you know, I wouldn't say an impact. But maybe an AEW. But again, you know, you have to toe that line and be careful because you don't want to keep bringing people from other sides. But I think Eric, you know, for the most part, has a great mind still. I think he has still a good idea of what is good and what is must-see TV in the sense, but ultimately, like you said, the patience is running thin there, and ultimately, I don't ever foresee Eric Bischoff ever returning or ever being seen on WTV or now, because why would you? If you're Eric, you've done all this stuff, and now you're the scapegoat. He took it like a true gentleman,
very
class act,
yeah.
And moved on. But again, now the focus will be as Eric now moves on to his quote-unquote future endeavors. You know, where's the leeway now with Bruce Pritchard? Where's the leeway with a guy like Paul Heyman now? Because Paul Heyman's the kind of guy, you think he's learned enough, but no, he's the kind of guy, too, who doesn't know how to pick his battles. He'll die on the hill, and that was one of the main reasons why
he
left.
Yeah, that's how he's made.
The stress was too much of dealing with
and that. And you think about it now, more stress will be on that show on SmackDown on Friday night. So I think, you know, Paul Heyman, I think Vince trusts Paul a bit more. Yes, can that relationship get contentious? Yes, I could see it. But I could see it more the focus on SmackDown. So we'll see what happens again. Sucks for Eric. And I do have to say one thing. I'm kind of glad that AEW didn't go out and have Eric Bischoff show up on Wednesday night. Just because what we hear, there's no contractual obligation for a no-compete for Eric.
Yeah.
So he could have showed up on Wednesday night. But I just don't think that would have been the right tone for AEW to go there.
Because it's clear what their philosophy is. They're not in competition with WWE, and they don't want to react to what WWE is doing. They want to stick to do what they want to do and be themselves. Yeah. So, yeah, bringing on Eric would have been cool. Would have been awesome. Would have been great in the ratings.
That water cooler talk, you know.
Of course.
Not the ratings, but it would have been the talk. AEW would have been the talk.
Oh, yeah, it would have blown up the internet. People would have been talking about it. But, again, it's not the same thing because, again, AEW is focused on just themselves and doing what they have to do. They don't have to do the same thing like bringing a Lex Luger or a Rick Rude in the night after they got fired for that type of thing. I think they're settled on their content and what they want to promote out there. I think that's good enough for them.
Yeah, even though they align themselves a lot with old WCW days, I don't think they just want to align themselves with Bischoff yet. You know what I mean?
I could see it happening more behind
the
scenes.
Road.
I don't see him being an on-air personality again.
Yeah, and they're doing good right now. I mean, everything is going great. It's a great wrestling show. You get tremendous action, man. And I'm glued to my seat on Wednesday night because I've got AEW and NXT. So we'll get to the ratings in a little bit, and then we'll get to Marty. We talked about the ratings. Tremendous ratings the first week for AEW.
Mm-hmm.
They beat NXT, easily. And each week, though, they've beaten them, but they've taken a loss of viewership. Same thing for NXT. And this has been the lowest point. Over just 1 million viewers for AEW this week.
Mm-hmm.
And NXT continues to drop to a less than 800,000. So, is this even a war? Because 1 million viewers is almost what TNA Impact was getting when they were on Spike TV. So is this even a war, or are we making this to be a war where there really isn't one, and it's just the wrestling fan show?
I think it's more of the wrestling fan show.
Yep.
This isn't a war to me. It's kind of what every single person in AEW, from Chris Jericho to Cody Rhodes, and the list goes on, people saying, this isn't a war. This is an alternative. And, you know, to see the ratings drop slightly, I think everyone, including ourselves, would have expected that to happen. Because here's the thing now. The excitement and the buzz is there for NXT and for AEW. Because NXT is basically more for the network. And so when you see NXT, it's still like you're seeing it brand new for the first time. Although NXT, as we all know, has established itself very well, but not to a general audience. It's gone more to the die-hardcore wrestling fan, as a lot of people have labeled it to be. So now NXT is going to go through its trials and tribulations of trying to create its own identity again to the general audience. And that's where AEW is at right now, too. They've had that buzz. They've sold out arenas. I mean, if you're asking me from a presentational standpoint, I think AEW outshines NXT, as you can see from the budget standpoint and from what it looks like presentation-wise. You look at AEW and NXT, it's apples and oranges, but the quality is still good in terms of wrestling. So for AEW, what's important for them right now is to continue on this path. And what's going to happen, I think after Full Gear is over, I think that's going to be a huge indication because it'll be their first, not quote-unquote official pay-per-view, but you know, once they've been on network TV, it'll be their first pay-per-view with network TV behind them. To see how many people want to see the outcome of what happens between Jericho and Cody. What happens now between what we found out the Young Bucks will be facing and Santana Ortiz. What's going to happen to Kenny Omega and Moxley. Once these storylines kind of establish themselves, which AEW I feel has done a really good job of slowly breaking these down, and showcasing these storylines to you for you to be invested, it's that slow build. So I think AEW will be fine. NXT, again, has established stuff. We'll slowly be building, so we'll be fine. But I won't take too much in terms of this war, because right now I think from WWE standpoint and AEW, they're kind of going in their own path right now. They're not interlinking.
You're getting great wrestling. You can go on AEW.
Which is what you want, yeah.
And you can watch a great tag team match that you saw with Kenny Omega and Hangman against Moxley and Pac. That was tremendous. And then on the other side, you can see a main event between Damian Priest and, you know, Pete Dunne. And then Tommaso Ciampa returns. And how great is that? Tommaso Ciampa returns ahead of schedule, way ahead of schedule. We're talking about like almost like 6 months in advance. So, I mean, I'm not going to focus too much on the ratings because a lot of people have made it about that.
You know has it been a war to you? Do you feel like it's a war?
I don't think so.
So it's been kind of created from amongst...
Oh, yeah, because we want that. We want that, what we had almost 10 years ago.
Back in our day.
But we're not going to get that anymore, especially when...
It's a different time.
Back in the day, I had to like, choose, or I had to record it, or I had to go, you know, someplace else.
To the other room
watch it. Now I can watch this... You know,
whenever you want.
Tomorrow, I can choose AEW and then watch NXT. The NXT fan can watch NXT, watch AEW later on. They can stream it. They can go on YouTube. They can go on Twitter. Every kind of social media, it's there. And AEW Dark is also a good show. So, I mean,
that's where I think the ratings can be manipulative in a way, since not in terms of what SmackDown's doing on Fox. That's a whole completely different story. But when you talk about, you know, you don't have to choose anymore. Yeah. You have the ability of watching everything now at the same time. So people who are fans of AEW probably don't have time to watch it on prime time when it's on TNT, but can watch the replays of it.
Yeah.
I think the numbers can be manipulative in a negative way, but also in a positive sense, because I don't think people are adding into account the fact that people are continually watching AEW because they missed it initially, but they can watch the repeats during the week.
Yeah, to me, once Impact comes up with their show on Access on Tuesday nights, because right now you're just getting, like, you're trying to learn about Impact.
Yeah.
So they're showing you old pay-per-views and old shows until their premiere on the 29th. You know, so you don't know what to expect there, but, you know, right now, Tuesdays are AEW Dark. I'll catch those matches, and then NXT, and NWA Power, and AEW Dynamite, man.
Yeah.
To me, those are the shows that wrestling fans are going to focus on.
Yeah.
And that's how it's going
to
be.
Because it's more accessible.
Yeah.
To them to do that. Everybody's on YouTube. Not everybody has access, but you know, you have the ability of gaining those types of shows and those programs when Impact debuts on there. So yeah, you have a lot of variety to choose from. So in a sense, it isn't really a war, and this really isn't, in my opinion, between AEW and WWE, although those are the two main companies which has a lot of backing behind in terms of money-wise and promotion and production. But, you know, I hope people don't also negate the fact that there's still great shows like New Japan's out there.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you keep watching it on the stream. Make sure you keep watching supporting Ring of Honor, because right now, I got to tell you, I'm a little nervous for Ring of Honor, because right now, it's like they have so much they had so much going for them in the past.
Congratulations to Roosh for becoming the new Ring of Honor world champion.
And they have to continually build momentum, but also at the same time, they have to make themselves in some way more accessible.
Yeah.
Join Honor Club is one thing because it's streamed like the network, but you need that ability to showcase yourself on more of a national stage.
Yeah, I mean, they need a TV deal. They need something weekly. I know they have something weekly. It's just, you know, it's taped. Sometimes it gets old. It gets lost in the shuffle, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then, of course, New Japan. Did you know Wrestle Kingdom was going to be a two-day event this year?
Yeah, we found out that.
Yeah.
We found out about that. We went to Wayne, New Jersey to cover promotions there, too, for a couple of interviews you had with you know, Private Party and
Kip Sabian.
Kip Sabian, yeah.
Yeah, so Trendsetter, without further ado now, today's guest is not Kip Sabian, although you can go and check him out on our YouTube channel. Just subscribe, High Spot Podcast. But Marty Elias, man, our good friend, former senior official for Lucha Underground and former WWE referee, joined us on the show. What is up with him, man? We finally get to talk to him after a long hiatus, and he, you know, kind of touched base with him, and he's decided to come on, tell his story of Marty Elias. So, guys, here on the High Spot Podcast, it's time to walk with Marty Elias. All right, Trendsetter, we've had lots of guests on the show, and this definitely is one of the best guys out there. He is Marty Elias, former WWE referee, former senior official for Lucha Underground. Marty, how are you doing, man? How is life going?
Life is beautiful, my guys. So I can't complain. Although, you know, there are things that happen in life that you know, take the good with the bad. But at the same time, you just keep moving forward, man.
Yeah, I was about to say, you can always complain.
That's what Marty Lysh is doing.
Marty, what's going on with you, man? What are you up to? It's been a while since we talked. What is going on in the life of Marty Lysh?
Well, I've actually been laying low. I mean, and I know, Jeff, you and I have texted and stuff privately, and I've just been laying low, you know, not doing a whole bunch of any wrestling stuff, anything wrestling related. I mean, I've focused more on some music stuff and some TV production stuff, you know, and wrestling right now, to me, unfortunately, is taking a back seat to anything in my life, you know. I mean, I don't even watch it. I couldn't even tell you who's who. The only thing that I know is that my friend Chris Jericho works for AEW and is a champion there, and that's pretty much the extent of my wrestling knowledge at this point and juncture in my life. You know, I've really just focused a lot on the music stuff, and I was blessed to be out on the road with Fozzy during the month of September, working for Fozzy, and it was a great experience for me, and I am not looking back on anything else.
Talk about that experience with Fozzy. I mean, we were on the cruise. We saw the great time that the band had and everyone else that was there. Just talk about that experience working with Chris like that again.
It's great because a lot of people know Chris for who he is or what and everything, but I know the real guy. I mean, that's my friend. You know, just like with Rich Ward, who is a big part of Fozzy as well. I mean, both those guys, I mean, it's a completely different environment from wrestling. I mean, wrestling, unfortunately, you know, it has that that bad vibe to it that sometimes, you know, people aren't as honest with you and people aren't going to tell you stuff to your face. And there's a lot of two-faced, backstabbing, you know, non-confrontational people in wrestling, whereas, you know, the music stuff, you know, especially dealing with Rich and Chris, I mean, it's been, you know, this is what it is, and this is what it's going to be, and this is how it is, and this is how we roll, this is how we don't roll, and, you know, everything is in black and white, you know, so there's no guessing that. And for me, you know, the music business is a lot like that, you know. You do have some of the other characters, you know, that are also involved in wrestling, but you know, I'm at the point in my life, you know, where I just don't want to deal with any bullshit. I mean, I've been doing entertainment forever in a day, maybe half my life, and I just don't like dealing with bullshit anymore. You either want me, you either don't want me, you're either going to pay me, you're not going to pay me. I don't have time for bullshit anymore. And unfortunately, wrestling is a lot of bullshit. And I just don't have time for that in my life anymore because I'm on a new journey. I'm on a new chapter. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. I know what I've done. I know where I've been. And I'm humbled as can be. But in a nutshell, I'm just tired of all the bullshit in the world in general.
No, I mean, I hear you, Marty. And there's no doubt in my mind that you definitely sound like you're enjoying yourself more. You seem more calm and relaxed, not as stressed out as, you know, the world of professional wrestling or anything in general that's causing a lot of stress would cause you. You don't have to go into specifics here, but like, what was the point when you finally made the decision? You know, I don't want to be around this environment anymore. Did you have an idea of where you're going to go? It was more just like, I need to get out first, and I'll figure out the rest as I go along.
I always knew that I wanted to do music. Music was actually my first love. Wrestling just happened, and wrestling happened to be successful. But at the same time, I mean, I'm not getting rich off of music, nor did I get rich off of wrestling. And it's wrestling and music are very similar, you know, that you got to be independent, you got to network and stuff. But there's a lot more leeway to do stuff. And, you know, like I said, I mean, nobody's getting rich in either industry, but if you can keep afloat and keep networking and keep gigging and stuff like that, you know, then you can have a career and you can, you know, survive. And to me, it's that point. You know, I've always been a survivor, so I'm a survivor. And as far as wrestling is concerned, if I can survive with the sharks and that and the backstabbing and the two-facing, I can survive anywhere.
Hmm. Talking to Marty Elias. Marty, again, was on the road with Fozzy. You know, text me from the road, and I was so jealous, man. Wish I could be there because, you know, we saw them live, and Brian got me into their music. Talk about their music. Like, I mean, right now, Chris is having a tremendous run, not only in the music business, but in AEW. He's their champion. A lot of people want to put him in their top 10. To me, he's a top 5 guy as far as a wrestler for just, you know, all that he's done in the ring and the way he reinvents himself. But let's talk about the performer. Do you ever get taken aback at, like, man, this is the Chris I know in the wrestling ring, and maybe try to separate the guy as a performer on stage?
No, you know what I always separate with Chris is that I always separate and go, wow, man, that's my friend up there. I never look at it as, oh, my God, he's a rock star. Oh, my God, he's Chris Jericho, the wrestler, Chris Jericho, the author or whatever. I just go, wow. I said, that's my friend Chris, man. You know, I look at it from that point of view, you know, because there isn't anything that Chris Jericho can't do, Chris Irvin can't do. I mean, if he sets his mind to it, he's going to go do it. And when I see that, when I see him on the stage performing, when I see him performing as a wrestler, when I see him cutting promos as a wrestler, I see him on a talk show or a radio interview and stuff, all I do is I sit back and I go, wow, that's my friend Chris. I take mental notes because it's like, you know what? I want to fucking be like that. I want to do that. I want to be able to do that. And for me, transitioning into the music from the wrestling and transitioning into the TV production world tour, I mean, I've watched Chris forever and watched him as a friend, watched him as a peer. And I think that's why I've been able to be successful in the music and in the TV stuff and transition, because I had somebody like Chris to look at and go, you know what? Fuck wrestling. I'm going to go do what I want to do. And that's pretty much where I'm at today.
And what is it that you want to do? I mean, you mentioned before you're diving back into music. That was your first love, your first passion. That's great. So what's in the horizon for you? I know you're kind of, the way you're talking about, it's kind of, you're like, yeah, we'll see what tomorrow brings type of mentality, which is great. I envy that too. But what's in the horizon for you in terms of that? I mean, diving into the music, you said, you know, you're not going to be rich off of music and wrestling altogether, but something you enjoyed, something you clearly are passionate about. So what's in the horizon in terms of the world of music for you?
Tour managing, merchandising, and meet and greet, fan club stuff. But a majority of tour managing and just being behind the scenes in the music industry, you know. I've always tend to look at all the behind the scenes stuff like I did in pro wrestling. And just work behind the scenes. You know, I've never been that guy who needed to be in front of a camera. I've never needed to be that guy with a check mark on his social media stuff going, you know, I'm verified. In the grand scheme of life, that doesn't mean shit, you know. And as far as being an influencer and all that, I love being an influencer, which I think I am. But I like to do it, you know, behind the scenes. I don't, like I said, I don't need a check mark and I don't need to be an influencer on Instagram saying, hey, you know, pay me to try your shit or whatever. If I like shit, I like shit. If I don't, I don't. But I really want to be behind the scenes, will be behind the scenes in music. Like I said, whether it be tour managing, coming up with budgets with tours, merchandising ideas, backline stuff, drums, techs, guitars. I'm going to do a little bit of everything, and that's where I'll be, and I know I'll be successful at that too, and sky's the limit.
So you said that you had, you know, music was your passion, and then you fell into wrestling. What were you listening to beforehand? What was your, you know, what was your type of music?
Motley Crue.
Okay.
Yes. You know, right now my bands are The Struts, who I absolutely love to death. And just so happens that Luke Spiller, who is the lead singer of the Struts, is a huge wrestling fan. So, you know, it's kind of cool. You know, he's like my fanboy man crush right now. It's funny because Chris busts my balls about that all the time, too. But I don't care. We all have that one. I Luke Spiller is my guy, but it was always Motley. I mean, it was always Kiss. It was always, that genre of music, for me, it was more Motley than anything else, because the guys in Motley, even to this day, have always had that mentality, fuck you, we're going to do it our way, and if you don't like it, you can go fuck off. And I have that mentality in life because, I'll go do whatever I want to do, whether it be television, whether it be music, whether it be wrestling or whatever, merchandising, I'm going to go do what makes me happy, whatever I feel, that I want to go do, and not have anybody tell me what I need to do. And unfortunately, that was a lot in relationships. That was a lot in wrestling. It was a lot in a lot of stuff. And I really love seeing Chris, what he's able to do, where he calls his own shots. And that's probably one of the coolest things to do is call your own shots, and I think more people should do it. And I think more people should be a lot more happier instead of just getting stuck by a choice that, you didn't want to make. You just had to make a choice. But, the choices, like Chris has told me 1,000 times, everybody's got a choice. Whatever choice you decide to make, you fucking live with it.
Actually, end of story. The Struts actually used one of their songs for NXT TakeOver. That's why I remember them. That's why they sounded familiar to me. And I think Chris even paid them a compliment on Twitter. He was like, I've seen the future of rock and roll, and it's in good hands with the Struts, and so and so on. I mean, that's a pretty good compliment from Chris.
Yeah, and you know what? I was a Struts fan way before all that, because I remember hearing about them in 2013 when they first had their demo shit come out and stuff. As a matter of fact, I seen them for four nights straight when they opened up for Motley Crue, when they were handpicked by Nikki Sixx to open up the final four shows at the Staples Center in 2015 on the end of the, All Bad Things Come to an End tour. I was there.
Look at that, Marty, making the rounds. He was there. How jealous am I of you? But also, not just jealous, yeah. I'm envious in the sense that, what you just said prior to that was very moving and inspirational, too. Dude, you said it 100% accurately. There's so many times, and case in point, I'll put myself in that category. Sometimes you're just doing things for a paycheck, and it's not worth it because there's no price tag on your happiness, and you sound content, you sound happy. But, going back a little bit too, in terms of what you're dealing with prior to what you're feeling now, how did you break up? Because most people who listen to this probably won't understand, or probably do understand the point of what it's like, to do something you're not happy about, to do something you're not passionate about. But the hardest thing, and the thing that scares people the most, and I've had conversations with a lot of people, myself included, in those conversations, that it's hard to pull that trigger. It's hard to take that leap and take that chance. For you, what helped you break out of that pattern and say, finally, this is it. I can no longer do this. My quality of life is way more important than where my next paycheck's coming from.
Just being inspired by Chris Jericho, being inspired by guys that I absolutely love. I mean, as far as music and friends, like Mark Slaughter. I mean, and there's some friends, that people aren't even aware of, that I got, but Rich Ward is another one. I mean, just people that I've always looked to and have had good relationships with, and just going you know what? There's more to life. And I've always been that type of guy. There's always been more to life. There's always been more than just having, the best looking girlfriend. Or having the most money, because guess what? At the end of the day, you're not taking any of that shit with you. And that's one of the things that I realized is that, wrestling is always going to be there. I'm always going to be associated with it. No matter how hard I try to get away from it, it's always going to be associated with me somehow, or I'm going to be associated with it. And I'll always understand it and everything. But do I love it? No, I don't love it. I mean, was I passionate about it at one point? Absolutely. But here's the thing that really made me change my whole thing is that going to the WrestleCon that I went to in New Orleans, when you and I did an interview there too, one of the things that I realized, and I said, I will never fucking do this again, is that there were so many of my peers and so many people that I cared about and loved hawking 8x10s for fucking $20 or hawking a t-shirt, sitting behind a table and, you know, hawking themselves because they need to make a paycheck or they need the money or whatever. I promised myself during that time that I would never, ever, ever fucking be a victim to that, nor be a guy, a washed up guy at that, or past my prime, whatever, sitting at a fucking table, hawking 8x10 for $20, trying to relive my glory years. Not going to fucking be me. Not going to be me. There's just too much self-pride in me, and I'm worth more than that. If people are going to remember me, I don't need to sit at a fucking merch booth and have people remember me. People will remember me if they want to remember me. If they don't, then go fuck their ass. That's what I said.
Marty, of course, you know, you do have that.
Sorry about that, man. I went deep right there.
Oh, and hell no, man. Yeah,
don't
man.
Don't ever apologize, Marty. Don't ever apologize.
That's the truth, dude. And that's who I am as an individual, and that's who I am. Me, Marty Elias, you know, I really don't give a fuck at this point.
Yeah.
Is another thing. I really don't give a fuck if you like me, if you want to hire me, you want to be associated with me. I don't give a fuck. I love who I am as an individual. I love where I am. I love that I'm able to go and do TV, do music, and go tour with Fozzy and stuff because I'm choosing to do that. Nobody's telling me to do that. I'm choosing to go do that, and I'm getting these opportunities to go do it because of who I am. Not because I'm kissing somebody's ass, not because I'm sucking somebody's dick, or anything else. I'm doing it because of my resume and who I am as an individual. What you see is what you get. I'm honest. I'm loyal. I'm a good dude. I'm a good fucking human being. If you don't like that, then go fuck your ass and don't talk to me because I'm just being honest with everything, guys. I mean, you know, I'm just at that point where should I be working for AEW? Should I be working for WWE? Should I be working for some companies? Absolutely. Is my ass hurt because I'm not? Fuck no. No, I'm not. Because guess what? There's other things for me to go do.
And at the end of
the day, I believe in me, and I go do it.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, that's what you got to do. You got to love yourself, and you're not going to take crap or from anybody, or because you know what? You are your own boss. You control your own future, your own destiny, and you know it's great, you know, to hear you so confident and, you know, so, you know, gung-ho about the rest of your future ahead. And hey, do not close that door in AEW, man, because you never know. But, you know, anybody could actually, like, rest on their laurels, Marty. I mean, you, for example, you know, you're synonymous with that Undertaker Shawn Michaels match. You are there. You are right in the middle of it, you know, one of the most, if not the best WrestleMania match. And everyone could, you know, you could be there hawking the 8x10 saying, you know, look, I was part of the best WrestleMania. You know, you could do that, but you don't. And I think that's very inspiring for other people to do and not fall into that trap of complacency, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? I tell people this all the time, too, when they ask me about getting into the business and stuff. As a matter of fact, I did a panel at the LA Comic Con this past Saturday that you and I had touched about. One of the things, you know, that I told everybody there, I said, never sell yourself short. Never, always know your worth. Always know what your value is. Never devalue yourself. Never devalue your talent. Never devalue who you are. Because guess what? If you do that, then the next guy's going to do it. And guess what? It just starts to a whole domino effect, and it devalues the whole fucking wrestling business. And that's why so many people in the wrestling business, they undercut each other because they don't give a fuck, and nobody has any morals, and nobody wants to take care of people. Because what I mean by that, if you're some girl, and let's say you're on TV and you charge $500, there's another girl that's on TV. They can't get you for $500, so they go ask this other girl, hey, would you be on TV, or you're on TV, but X girl can't do it. Would you mind doing it? Absolutely. How much you charge? Well, how much are you going to charge? Pay me. Well, we'll pay you $150, not knowing that they were going to pay this other girl $500. this dipshit will fucking do it for 150, undercut everybody, and fuck everybody out. So next time that promoter wants to book it, guess what? I can get Joe Blow for 150. So you've just fucked everybody out of fucking money. I'm done with that. I'm done with that. And I'm sorry, I'm going off on tangents. No, I'm just fine, done with man. That stupid shit.
How was the LA Comic Con? I know you were able to catch up with Shaw and Vicky Guerrero. I think that was from the Comic Con too. How was that?
Oh, it was great. It was great. You know, I went on this panel. It was me, Eric Watts, Jervis was on there. One of the gals from WoW was on there, Lioness Girl, and Crime Time, Chad and JTG. So, you know, we had some fun, and, you know, the panel was about an hour. And, you know, after I did the panel, I went walking around, and I was looking for Legos, and unfortunately, they only had customs, you know. So I'm a Lego guy, so if people, you know, want to know, you know, I collect minifigures and starting to collect some Funko Pops too. So you know, just I was looking around and just being a big kid nerd and just looking what was there, and it was cool. And then I ran into Vicky and Shaw, and you know, got to see them and got to catch up with them, and hopefully, you know, God willing, I'll get to see them on the cruise in January, the Jericho cruise. So it was a blast.
Have you ever been on a cruise, Marty?
Never been on a cruise in my life.
And let me tell you
imagine
something.
That.
And let me tell you something.
Stay away from the buffet. That's what I tell you. Stay away from the buffet.
It is addicting, my friend. Oh, and with Chris, man, you combine the Jericho and a cruise, you're going to have tremendous fun there, Marty.
And not just that, rock and roll, too. You have amazing music all the time, all around. I mean, how could you go wrong? You're going to have a great time, Marty.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, if I do get the opportunity to do it, I mean, you know, there's been talk, and I'm just going to go do my thing like I've always done. I go work, and, you know, I'm not there to get myself over, you know. And that's the thing that a lot of people don't realize, is that put your egos at the fucking door. Doesn't matter who you are, who you've worked, who you've blown, who you kissed ass to, whatever. At the end of the day, you know, just let your talent and let who you are, you know, proceed. You know, what you're going to do. You know, it's just, like I said, I'm at that point in my life where I literally don't give a fuck. I'm happy where I'm at, know where I'm going, and nothing's going to stop me. Am I getting rich? Fuck no. But I'm happy. And at the end of the day, I think everybody needs to be happy.
But Marty is getting rich, Jeff. He's rich on life. And I can tell that
price on happiness, dude.
I can do that. I can tell that directly from the tone of your voice. You seem so much more energetic, so much more happier. So it seems like there's like the weight of the world is off your shoulders, man. And I can't tell you, man. I can't speak for Jeff because I've never want to speak anything for Jeff when it comes out of his mouth. But we're so genuinely happy for you, man. We really are.
Thank you. And you know, I know that, you know, I haven't been out there a lot and really just laying low. But I did that for a reason, you know, and I went away because I was too involved with everything, and it really consumed who the human being was and what I was doing in life and where I was going in life. And I just, you know, divorce, bad relationships and things of that nature were really, you know, pulling me down. And shit like that happens all the time. Unfortunately, it happens every day in life. And if you're able to learn from that and see the red flags that come up now, or if they do come up, you know, it was more of a lesson than anything else. I mean, did I want to check out? Absolutely. Did I? No. But I kept moving forward because what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. And by me going away, wasn't going to help anybody. Wasn't going to help me. Wasn't going to help my family. Wasn't going to help people who loved me. By me being here and being a part of life and making a difference. And that's a thing that I've actually grown in some sense and stuff and everything. And I'm rambling, guys. But at the end of the day, one of the things that I really look at too is if I contribute to the world. How have I contributed to the world? Have I contributed in helping anybody? Have I contributed in being nice to people? Have I contributed in being a good human being to people? Have I helped people? You know, at the end of the day, to me, at this point. It's all about contributing to the world and who you are as a human being. So when you lay your dad down at night, you go, I had a fucking purpose in life.
Marty, how would you, for example, like, obviously, like, when shit happens, man, sometimes it can come, like, you know, one thing, or sometimes it can just avalanche on top of you, right? Do you feel that, like, when that happens, for example, and I'm glad that when you reemerged and when you, you know, decided to come back, like, you know, you reached out in Texas to make sure everything was good with you, and I appreciate that, man, because, you know, I value your friendship and everything like that, but do you feel that, like, when that happens, it's important to talk to somebody about it, or like, or do you close in? Like, do you think it's a good thing to talk about stuff?
I'm the biggest believer in therapy. I still talk to therapists all the time, and that helped me, because I here's the thing, folks. Isolation is probably the worst thing you could ever do, because it just makes it worse. And I isolated myself in a room with nobody to talk to. I wasn't reaching out to anybody. I wasn't calling anybody. I sat in a dark room for literally 4 months every day and cried. And I didn't reach out to anybody, and I was getting deeper and deeper into depression and isolation and not doing it. And I wasn't sharing anything with anybody, not even my closest friends. The Jerichos didn't know, the Michaels didn't, my mom didn't know, my brother didn't know, nobody knew where I was going. I was in a very, very, very dark place. I attempted to commit suicide in October of last year. And I will be the first to admit that. And this is why the Struts are a huge part of my life, because of the particular song and reaching out to Luke Spiller and having a relationship with the Struts now. I mean, it's very cool. But please, if anybody has any type of issues or you know, I always like to say the strongest or the weakest. If anybody has any type of issues or anybody has any type of thing they need to get off their chest, they should really talk to somebody, because talking is the best way to get it out. Because when you repress it and you keep it on, all it's going to do is build up, and you're going to do something that you don't want to do. It may have an impact on you and everybody else around you. But if anybody is in that place, I suggest you talk to somebody.
And it's a great story, Marty, because, you know, you say Marty Elias, they see you on Lucha Underground, they see you in WWE, and they're like, wow, this guy's living the life, this guy's living his dream. But when they hear this, they're like, oh, this guy's a regular guy just like me, and he's going through shit, mm-hmm. and he's able to, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, so, you know, that's great that you can tell your story and then coming on this show and telling them, you know, what you went through and how there's a light at the end of the tunnel, man. That's just something that I think is important for listeners, not only just wrestling fans, but just people who are going through this stuff to hear, like, more inspiring stories like yourself.
Yeah, and you know what I forgot? I forgot to love myself. I forgot what my worth was. I forgot that I was somebody, that I meant something, you know, that I have a purpose in life. You know, I forgot that people loved me. I forgot people were fans of mine. I forgot that people were there for me. I forgot that people cared. I forgot who I was. I forgot that people gave a shit. All that shit went out the door. But when you sit back and you analyze where you are and who you are and who's there and who's not, and when you realize, when you get confirmation from people like yourself, from my friends, from my family and stuff, I'm no fucking joke, man. I'm kind of a big deal, to quote Ron Burgundy. But I lost all that. I lost all that because I was in my self-pity. I was in my dark points. I had nobody to tell me, I loved you, I care for you, you're everything to me. I didn't get that. I didn't hear that. And I wasn't hearing it. And I wasn't listening to people tell me how special I was and how cool I am and how nice I am and, you know, how giving I am. And, you know, because I'm not that karma guy. Was I hurt? Did people hurt me? Absolutely. But you know what? I have forgiven those people, and I wish those people nothing but the fucking best. My ex-wife, ex-girlfriends, ex-whatever, I just wish everybody the fucking best in life. I never want to be that guy when I go that I have a long list of fucking enemies and people who don't like me. But at the same time, I don't give a fuck if you like me, but I just want to know that I was a good human being and that I did everything I could to be a good human being.
Yeah, Marty, man. Awesome, and glad everything is great with you, and glad we're able to reach out and you coming on here and telling your story, man. Really appreciate that, dude. Well, I you know, to end it on that would be amazing. But I do have to ask you though one more question, Marty. Obviously,
ask me anything you want, guys.
obviously, like the whole.
I've been rambling.
No,
sorry about that,
dude, man. No, no man. It's from the heart, man. You're telling your story, yep. And who better to tell your story than yourself? You know what I mean? Like it's awesome, man. Tremendous. You know, obviously you've been off the wrestling radar, but I do want to ask you, the news came out that you had left Lucha before they had, you know, the financial issues or whatever it was, the seasons and stuff. If I were to tell you more, Marty, what could have been of Lucha Underground? You know, a lot of wrestlers now got their release, and, you know, we're still wondering, you know, there may be a couple other that still are working on that. But what do you think, if I ask you, Marty, what could have been? What do you think it could have been?
Lucha Underground?
Yeah.
Lucha Underground. It's funny, you know, because I don't even think about what ifs and stuff anymore, you know? I mean, just like with relationships, you know, it's really hard to really go, you know, what if? Hey, what if?
Yeah.
You know, she stayed with me. Hey, what if they would? I mean, you really just don't know. But I can tell you from my own personal experience that I was hoping, you know, that they would have done some more, and I wish, you know, that they would have let Eric Van Wagenen really take control of the show. To me, there was way too many investors and people who put their hands where they shouldn't have fucking put their hands, and I think that's what killed Lucha Underground. But I really wish that they would have let Eric just do what Eric had to do. And I think the show would still be here. Was it great? I mean, yeah. I mean, I really loved Lucha Underground. I loved what they were doing. Unfortunately, I mean, people got confused, and it was a TV show. It wasn't a wrestling promotion where everybody went out and toured and stuff. If they did one-offs like we did, then that was all calculated and planned. It was never the plan to go out and tour and do what WWE did. It was a TV show.
Yeah.
And I think people really just got misconstrued with that whole thing and really thought that they were going to go tour when they didn't. Could it have been something amazing? Absolutely. Could it have been bigger? Absolutely. Did they have the right people steering the ship? Fuck no. So, you know, who's to say? Will it come back? Don't know.
Yeah.
Is it gone forever? Don't know.
You know, and a lot of people
are there certain things that I know? Absolutely. Am I going to say? Fuck no.
A lot of people talked about it, man. They were talking about it. It was something different because, you know, WWE was just, you know, spewing out the same thing, you know, like they're doing now. And now you get a little bit of like AEW, which is a alternative, which I think the fans have been asking for. They've been begging for an alternative. It's like, I don't want to shit on WWE because I love WWE. It was what I grew up watching as a kid. But I just want the wrestling aspect. And now on Wednesday nights, you have like an NXT. And Chris Jericho is really doing a tremendous job being the face of AEW and being their champion too. So I just think, you know, the alternatives are there, and I think it's really good. And I just want to ask you one you know, I'm saying one last thing, Marty, one last thing. But you know, we just found out that Eric Bischoff, who was hired to run SmackDown as the executive director, right, was let go, and Bruce Pritchard is taking over. Do you have any stories about Bruce? Because, you know, Bruce is now Mr. Podcast King along with Conor and everything like that. But what are your thoughts on Bruce?
Bruce has always been nothing but fucking great to me. I know there's – and here's the thing, too. people always have these stories and always want to know. But here's the thing. Me, I have nothing but great experiences with everybody. I mean, people can say, oh, this guy's a piece of shit or what. You know, just, hey, what do you think of Bruce? I think Bruce is great. Bruce has always been nothing but fucking amazing to me. Him and his brother, Tom. They've been nothing but fucking great to me. And this is why I tell people all the time, too, when they talk wrestling with me, is that, you know, never say never. Because I can tell you from personal experience, I was there when Bruce was there at WWE the first time, and I was there, at, you know, when he was coming to UPW and they were WWF and all that. So I know Bruce a long time. Bruce has been nothing but fucking great to me the whole time. So when he was knee-deep in WWE and the shit that he knows and the stuff that he came up with and was part of, the guy's a fucking legend, man. He belongs where he belongs, you know? And to me, I think it's smart for WWE to bring somebody like that back because the guy knows. He's got a formula, man. And people love his podcast. They love what he's doing because he's straight. He's shooting. He's telling you exactly what was going on from his perspective. And that's the other thing, too. A lot of people misconstrued. It's coming from his perspective, not Vince's perspective, not yours, not mine. Just like when I'm telling you these things, they're coming from my perspective. And sometimes people get butthurt because somebody's perspective is different than theirs. But Bruce has been great. I'm glad he's back there. I'm sure he'll make a difference. I was really surprised about the whole Bischoff coming back to WWE. So to hear that he got let go, doesn't surprise me. But, you know, you just don't know. I mean, I watched the Hell in the Cell pay-per-view with my brother because he, come on, man, watch it with me.
Marty would never call a freaking DQ. No way Marty would call that a DQ.
No, he would not.
No. So, you know, I'm watching this, and then I see the main event, and I see the crowd shitting on it, and somebody with any credibility or somebody who was worth a fuck would have been able to save that match. But being that you had Bray Wyatt and you had Seth Rollins in there, wasn't going to be saved.
Yep.
So there you go.
Yep. True so words were never spoken.
That's called experience, kids.
You can't buy it. You can't duplicate it. You can't replicate it. You can only have it.
Yep.
No. Absolutely. So, you know, that was what I watched. I mean, and that was probably the only thing that I've seen in about a year and a half, 2 years.
Oh, Marty, sorry about that.
But here's the thing. I've never even watched season 4 of Lucha Underground. I don't care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, obviously, Marty, though, you kept busy. You're doing your thing. And, man, again, glad you're able to reach out to us and talk about your experience, man. He is Marty Elias. Thank you so much, man. And don't be a stranger, and we'll have you on again soon.
Absolutely, guys. Absolutely. Enjoy it, man.
All right, guys, that was Marty Elias. And what an inspirational story. That interview is brought to you by Collar and Elbow. You know what? Check out their winter fashion line. Go to collarandelbowbrand.com and save 10% on your entire online purchase by typing in High Spot Podcast, all in caps, man.
Promo code, guys. Use it.
What an interview, man.
It was a great interview, and it was great catching up with Marty. As you could tell, guys, in the interview, he has kept himself out of the limelight for a particular reason. And what I got from him most is he was saying so much great stuff, and, you know, he jokes around and feels bad. He feels like he was rambling on, but he wasn't, guys. He wasn't rambling on. He was speaking from the heart, as you could tell, and he said it too. He was speaking from the heart. And I'm just so beyond happy for somebody like Marty, because Marty has been nothing but good to us from the moment we met him, talking about all the events of pro wrestling. And now to see him in this stage of his life, you know, he said too, he's not banking on the money, he's not doing this, he's just doing stuff he enjoys.
Yeah, music.
And from there, honestly, guys, you cannot put a price tag on that, and you cannot put a price tag on the fact that when you listen to Marty, and we've spoken to him, and, you know, the last time we talked to Marty, because we talked to him outside the show several times and check up on him and make sure to double-check what he's doing, he's happy in a better place that's awesome.
Yeah, not only is it a guest relationship, it's also like a personal relationship with
Marty. He's a friend of ours. He's a buddy.
Yeah, we value that friendship. Glad he's doing okay. Wish we were going on the cruise
now. He's doing more than okay. He's doing great.
Yeah, I wish we were going on the cruise now. touring with Jericho, with the Struts. Man's rebounded, man, and that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's let go of all the negativity, and all he has is positivity in his life, and he's living life,
yeah.
Which is what we want to do right now. As we're talking to you guys, the crew, about what's going on in the world of professional wrestling, but again, those are just things we're passionate about, and that's why we enjoy doing the show.
Yeah, and Trendsetter Bound for Glory is this Sunday.
Oh, boy.
You
can
catch it on the Fight app. Make sure you give it a chance, because really.
I mean, great advertising. Just give it a chance,
give
guys.
It a chance,
just give
man,
it a shot,
please. You got Sami Callihan vying for the Impact World Heavyweight Championship against Brian Cage, and also
the
you
Machine,
got
Brian the Machine, Cage.
And you've got Ken Shamrock getting back there and taking on Moose. So
Moose.
So yeah, man, definitely give it a chance. And you know what, Sami Callihan,
a little nostalgia there with Ken Shamrock.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
And someone, you know what, the WWE has just forgotten about.
I think not only WWE, but they kind of want to erase Ken Shamrock from the annals of history, which I have no idea why. Again, we don't know what's going on in terms of the inner turmoils of what's going on in terms of what type of heat he has. He says there's none, but we all know WWE can hold a grudge when they want to. So, yeah, that's kind of weird, too. But, again, sense of nostalgia, great to see Ken Shamrock back.
Especially and when you're bringing back Cain Velasquez, right? When Cain Velasquez is there and they're doing a lot of MMA crossover. I don't understand why you don't want to, you know, talk about Ken Shamrock.
In my opinion, Ken Shamrock is the pioneer. He is, in my opinion. I mean, and I'm sure a lot of historians will be, you know, messaging me on Facebook, or sorry, messages on Twitter that I'm wrong. But I really see from my own recollection of history, at least current history, he was the pioneer that started it all, Jeff. If it wasn't for Ken Shamrock, there wouldn't have been a Kurt Angle. There wouldn't have been a Ronda Rousey. There wouldn't have been a Brock Lesnar.
Trailblazer.
There wouldn't have been, you know, a Cain Velasquez coming along. And for people who believe in the legitimacy of MMA going to the sports entertainment field, Ken Shamrock started it all, man.
You know, I gotta check on that 30 for 30 with Ortiz and Liddell.
Yeah, I gotta check that out too, though. People who don't know the history, I mean, people follow MMA know the history between these two. So, you know, for those who don't, it's real, it's personal, and it kind of takes itself over in terms of a storyline and in terms of wrestling that we enjoy and love. But this was real. These two really. And I don't know if they still like each other or anything like that, but they literally don't like each other and hate each other. And it became very
personal. They're friends, right?
They start off as friends, and then somewhere down the road, depending on who you want to listen to, it just kind of went out from there because
better enemies.
Short story here. As Jeff's listening to his app, you know, he loves listening to his apps while we're doing the show here. Very professional, Jeff. But the quick story between Tito and Chuck Liddell was the fact that they were friends. And there was an unspoken agreement that neither one of them, if they were champion, would face the other as a gentleman's agreement. But Chuck never really agreed to that. Yeah. And so when he was asked would he face Tito Ortiz, he said yes, he would face him for the title. And Tito took that very personally. And it started from there in terms of feeling of disrespect. So this was really basically all about respect. And then ultimately it led to, you know, turmoil between the two of them. They were no longer friends. And then the rest is history, as we see if you watch their 30 for 30, or you can check stuff out on YouTube. You know the history between the two of these guys.
And I'm also excited because I can finally become an NFL fan again, a Jets fan. I can actually show my face around here because we actually got a win.
Oh, congratulations, Jeff.
How about them Cowboys?
I'm surprised I didn't see, you know, a tweet out there with, you know, Sam Darnold is the Statue of Liberty against, and this is the Messiah. He is the answer after one game coming back from mononucleosis. That he's back and the Jets are right on track again. So
we got
the
Patriots on Monday night. So I mean,
yeah, but I think the Jets have a good quarterback on their roster. Just got to build around them. But again, you know, easier said than done. You know, I'm a Giant fan, dealing with my own issues here with the Giants teams. But again, it seems like it's difficult for every team in the NFL except the New England Patriots.
And the weather is changing.
Oh yeah, it's changing
a lot, and I'm not liking it.
You're not liking it at all.
At all. I got to wear a jacket now. I had a little bit of a head cold that I'm getting over. You know, not looking forward to this winter, man.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to, though, is, you know, Bound for Glory. And the fact that, you know, let's go
backtrack a little bit here in terms of what we're talking about. We kind of sidetracked here, but the cool thing about this is I'm super excited for Sami Callihan in this situation.
Good dude.
He's proven himself to be the draw, and this isn't just a moniker or a catchphrase, guys. He really is that. He has worked his ass off to get to a point like this where he does feel and act like he's the number one guy because he believes it. It's not arrogance. It's not cockiness. It's just confidence. He's a confident man, and you know what? He deserves this moment in the spotlight too. Will he come out victorious? I don't think that's going to be the case too, but again, this goes back and forth, Jeff. You and I discussed before too when, you know, Cody Rhodes was part of, or when he was called Cody, part of Ring of Honor and stuff like that. When you have individuals, especially a guy like Sami Callihan, they really, in my opinion, Jeff, they really don't need the titles to establish themselves as top stars. They're already top stars. It's just a symbol, and they don't really need it. Sometimes it actually hinders, I think, somebody when they are the champion of a promotion, because then I feel sometimes they're pigeonholed and kind of led to go in certain directions because you're representing the company rather than representing the company and yourself at the same token. So excited for Sami. Can't wait for this. He's proven to me every single time he's been great with everybody he's worked with, and to work with an athlete like Brian Cage, for those two to work together, I really see magic happening in this match, and I'm definitely looking forward to it.
I mean, I was...
I can't believe I'm saying I'm actually looking forward to an Impact match, and this will be one I'm looking forward to.
The match with Elgin and Cage was great, and I think Callihan had a great matchup with Tessa Blanchard.
Yeah.
And he's killing it right now.
Both guys have proven that
Impact
they are...
Impact is that company that won't go away. They have like nine lives. Yeah. They're like a cat.
Yeah.
Now they're on Access TV. And again, just if you really root against the company, I don't know why you would do that, because you are fans of the wrestlers and they have a place to work. So now you have Impact on Access TV on Tuesday nights. You've got New Japan. You've got, you know, NWA. So it's a great time, man. It's a great time. And, you know, we want to thank Marty Elias for joining us on the show. He would not have called the DQ at Hell in a Cell against Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins. Believe that. And then next week, we're going to be talking to Tommy Fierro of 80s Wrestling because, you know what? We will be there in Freehold, New Jersey next week.
Exciting
for
time.
80s Wrestling Con 2. If you hear the interview we did, I had a problem. I thought it was WrestlingCon.com or Wrestling.com. Embarrassed myself.
Not the first time.
I'll try to say that better next time. But yeah, Tommy Fierro will join us. We'll talk about 80s Wrestling Con 2, ready to hit Freehold, New Jersey next week.
And so are we. We're ready to hit Freehold, New Jersey too.
I'm ready to hit the bed right now, man. I'm tired,
I'm ready to hit the bed. I'm ready to hit all the schedules too, because I'll be covering the events of Exotic and Edison, New Jersey that same weekend. So I will be very, very busy and very sleepless, but not for the right
reasons. Camera guy?
Not for the right reason. I did need a camera guy. Unfortunately, some guy didn't want to show up, so I'm going solo again, like always.
You dissed my camera skills, so I don't want to cut your head off.
You know what, Jeff? I don't think me dissing your camera skills would have prevented you, because you didn't put much of a fight up for me dissing it. Usually when somebody disses you, you kind of fight back, and you really didn't fight back on
it. No, I know I suck. Anyways, Trendsetter, though, great week. I want to thank Marty Elias for joining us. Walk with Marty Elias, because he's the goddamn man.
He's the goddamn man. Speaking of sucking, my tag team partner, the Scandal, Jeff Martin. I'm the trendsetter, Brian Berger. We are the Jersey Red Crew. Thanking you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. We'll be back next week. Looking forward to talking to you guys. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at High Spot Podcast. Make sure you visit our website, highspotpodcast.com. Leave a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. We're also available on Apple Podcasts. Check us out on Spreaker. We are on bodyslam.net. We are part of the Shining Wizards Radio Network as well. You guys can also catch our YouTube channels and all the interviews we posted up, which we'll be posting up very shortly with new interviews, new content for you guys to enjoy. So join us in all our shenanigans, because remember, Jeff, we do this for one reason, and I think it's only one reason since the moment we started the show. We do this for you,
the crew.